ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुस्तुलम्बोदरायैकदन्ताय विघ्ननाशिने शिवसुताय श्रीवरदमूर्तये नमो नमः ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः ॐ नमो भगवते श्री शङ्खधारिणे श्रीचक्रधारिणे श्रीदेवि भूदेवि समेत श्री श्रीनिवासाय वेङ्कटेश्वरस्वामिने परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे ॐ वी आर गोइंग टू द उपनिषद् वी आर सीइंग द सेकंड सेक्शन इन द प्रथम मुंडकम् In the first chapter, we are seeing the second section. So Upanishad has given the essence of the teaching briefly in the first section. The second section just discusses the karma. Karma, especially the ritual. The advantages of performing a ritual, the usefulness of performing a ritual. At the same time, how performance of rituals can help us attain punyam. Especially the ritual Agnihotram was taken for discussion, and all other mantras until now, how by performing a ritual one can have punyam that can help one to even attain brahmalokaha. So there was the praise of karma also was presented briefly. So the advantages of performing a ritual is discussed. We understand also the limitations. What all actions can do. At the same time, what a ritual cannot do. Also, we must understand. But now, the verse which we started last class, the mantra which we started last class, we just started and we stopped. From that mantra onwards, which is the seventh mantra. So in the second section, we have seen six mantras, and all those six mantras, there is description of karma, how the flames come and what all the flames are there and their names and how Agnihotram is performed, how the oblations are offered and how even the oblations offered themselves become the devatas, become the representatives of devatas, and how they carry the offer of oblation to the Brahmaloka. All those factors we understood in the previous mantras. Now we are seeing the seventh mantra. And the seventh mantra onwards, the Upanishad changes its teaching. What does it mean? Changes means the Upanishad initially, which discusses the karma, praised the karma, who discussed the advantages and usefulness of karma, now is going to discuss the limitations of karma. So suddenly Upanishad changes, which means karma is praised, karma is also condemned. So praising the karma, and later on, condemning, criticizing the karma may make us think that as though Upanishad statements are contradictory. Does Upanishad contradict with its own teaching? No. Upanishad does not contradict with its teaching. In fact, this is how Upanishad presents the teaching. This purposely Upanishad presents the teaching in such a way that initially it praises karma, it discusses the karma, genuinely points out what all karma can help us achieve. Then Upanishad is also going to talk about the limitations of karma. In a way, it's a condemning of what karma cannot do. So that we are all made to think properly. So how much importance we give to karma? We should not totally ignore karma as useless. At the same time, we should not mistake the karma as a means of moksha also. It's for our own understanding, for the purpose of helping us understand the necessity of performing karma, at the same time, understand limitation of karma, that we also perform karma knowing the purpose that it should contribute for or preparing our mind for jnanam. Therefore, Upanishad presents both. There is praise, there is also criticism, condemnation. Okay, let us see the seventh mantra now. Saptamaha mantraha, which we started last class. Plavahyete, plavahyete, adrudha yajna rupaha. Plavahyete adrudha yajna rupaha ashtadashoktamavaram yeshu karma ashtadashoktamavaram yeshu karma ashtadashoktamavaram yeshu karma yeta Shreyo ye bhinandanti mudhaha. Yetachreyo ye bhinandanti mudhaha. Jaramrityum te punareva piyanti. Plavahyete adrudha yajnyarupaha. Plavahyete adrudha yajna rupaha ashtadashoktamavaram 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 yeshu karma ashtadashoktamavaram yeshu karma Yetachreyo yebhinandanti mudhaha. Yetachreyo yebhinandanti mudhaha. Yetachreyo yebhinandanti mudhaha. Jaramrityum te punareva piyanti. Jaramrityum te punareva piyanti. So here, adrudhaha. Before that, we have word hi ete. So plavaha hi ete. We break the mantra. Plavaha. The visarga got dropped. Whenever visarga follows long a, it becomes dropped. Ka sandhi rule. For understand the meaning, when we do pada vibhagaha, when we break the mantra, break the words, the sentence, then we follow the sandhi there. Plavaha. Plavahyete. Break it. Plavaha hi ete. It means yete plavaha, these rafts adrudhaha. See, dridha, Dridha means firm. An adjective, it can be dridham, dridhaha, or dridha. Dridhaha, balaha. Dridha, balika. Dridham, dridham, palakam. Firm, board. Firm, girl. Firm, boy. Dridhaha, dridha, dridham. So the adjective agrees with the noun. You know that very well. So dridha is an adjective. So here is adjective for plavaha. Therefore, dridhaha means firm, strong. Whereas adrudhaha, not firm, not strong, which means weak. So he can say very fragile. Yete plavaha adrudhaha. Yete plavaha adrudhaha. These rafts are very, very fragile and not at all strong. Adrudhaha, not firm. Yete plavaha hi adrudhaha. So why is this raft brought in the discussion when we are discussing about karma? Because here Man Upanishad compares the ritual to the weak, fragile raft. Therefore, yajna rupaha plavaha. Yajna rupaha. These rafts in the form of the ritual, performance of a ritual, are not firm, not adequate, not appropriate. So with a compare, yajnas are, yajnaha is a fire ritual. So yajnaha, fire rituals. Any fire ritual, any karma. Here especially we are talking about the Vedic ritual. So from here we have to extend it to any karma in general. Any action. Whether a mundane ritual or a religious activity, a religious ritual, a mundane activity or a Vedic ritual. So secular action or sacred action. Can you hear me? So secular activity or sacred ritual, any action is limited. It has its limitation. So yajnaha. So the form of worship, a Vedic form of worship, is in the form of performing a fire ritual. We all know worship itself is an act of offering. A symbolic act of offering. You suppose anybody asks you what is yajnaha. So yajnaha is also synonym of the word yagaha. Kratuhu. We have these different words. Yajnaha, yagaha, kratuhu. All these words mean the same. But here we come across only one word, yajna. And also homaha, havanam. Why I'm saying, the North Indians are very familiar with the word havan, the word havan. In South India, we are very familiar with the word yajna yaga. Homa also. So homaha, yajnaha, yagaha, kratuhu, havanam. All these words are, all these words mean the same, which means Vedic form of worship in the form of a fire ritual, wherein oblations are offered into the fire invoking the grace of a given deity, Bhagavan, in the form of given Devata. As expression of our thanks, gratitude for all that we are blessed with. This is worship. And here we discuss the Agnihotra karma. And we take the karma kanda of the Veda. I said the entire Veda Shastram, the Veda, the book called Vedaha, which is a treasure of knowledge, has the biggest part of it. Only discussing karma. It means the most of the portion of the Veda discusses the karma only, called karma kandaha, which is the most voluminous portion, karma kandaha. It means not one particular ritual, for innumerable, countless rituals, many rituals, dharma, are all discussed in the karma kanda. That's why I said we do not know the karma kanda. The smallest ritual is Agnihotram, the biggest is Ashwamedha, and in between we have many rituals. Now, all those rituals and how they should be performed also we understood. All those rituals are all what? Yajnaha. All the ritual, any ritual, doesn't matter which yajnaha it is, which devata is invoked, which mantra is uttered, how many avrittis, how many times mantras are repeated, what are all the oblations offered. Doesn't matter, biggest ritual, smallest ritual, big ritual, small ritual, doesn't matter which yajna it is. Any karma, any ritual prescribed in the karma kanda of the Veda has its limitation. Why? Because this is going to, Upanishad gives the reason also. So all the rituals, all the karmas, sarvani karmani, all rituals in the form of performance of fire ritual, involving fire, the rituals performed, all rituals, sarve yajnaha, sarvani karmani, sarve yajnaha, you must note here, okay, sarvani karmani, or you can say sarve yajnaha, all of them are adrudhaha, they're all not adequate, not appropriate, for what? We'll see here. So they are like the rafts. So raft, what is the use of raft? What can the raft do? What the raft cannot do? A raft is a very, very fragile, simple wooden structure used for carrying very light things. Especially in a small stream or a small pond, a small lake, etc. In a small river. Not even our rivers like Ganga. Definitely not in the ocean. A raft will disappear in the ocean. Similarly, why this? Yete plavaha adridhaha. All these rafts are very fragile. So they cannot be used to cross the big ocean with the roaring waves, also with the serious, dangerous aquatic creatures. They will sink, they will disappear, they cannot be used. So in order to cross the big ocean, we need a very strong ship, a very strong, proper a yard like thing which can stand any problem we happen to face on the surface of the ocean. When the cyclone comes or any other prachanda vataha, anything else comes, even things, tsunami happen or overfloods happen or even other aquatic creatures like shark or this, even the huge crocodiles, they can push also. So withstand all the problems we can expect to face in the sea. To withstand all of them, we need a very strong ship, a very strong vessel. Definitely raft is useless. So raft is not absolutely useless. It is definitely, it serves its own purpose. Be very careful. When you talk about the ocean, immediately we will say, oh, raft is useless. No, raft is not totally useless. Of course, it has its own purpose. It is very useful in taking very light things, in shifting very light things. In a small stream where there's not much big currents, of course, raft is useful. At the same time, raft is definitely useless. Raft cannot be used in crossing the ocean. To cross the ocean, we need a different, strong vehicle. Therefore, similarly, here, Upanishad says, Yete plavaha adrudhaha. Similarly, what are the rafts here? Yajna rupaha. All forms of rituals, including the Agnihotram, and you can include that Ashwamedha also, all forms of rituals, all rituals are all inadequate, inappropriate, they are very insecure, they are not adequate to cross the ocean of samsara. To cross the ocean of samsara, they are yajnaha. All rituals are like the fragile rafts. So even performance of rituals, being obsessed with performance of rituals and obsessed with attainment of results of rituals, and mistaking them to be useful for attaining moksha, is not appropriate. So yajna rupaha plavaha yete adrudhaha. All rituals, all karma, I said sarvani karmani sarve yajnaha, all of them are adrudaha. We mean what here? They're inadequate. No karma phalam definitely can help you attain jnanam, can remove ignorance, and therefore they cannot be the means of attainment of mokshaha. In fact, in Taittiriya Upanishad, Adishankar Bhagavatpada presents a big discussion. He condemns the Jnana Karma Samuchayavada. Whether people who really think we have to combine the performance of ritual, practice of meditation with Jnanam, along with the Jnanam, as a means of attainment of moksha. And such discussion is called Jnana Karma Samuchayavadaha. Synthesis of karma and jnanam as a means of attainment of moksha is discussed. And Shankara Bhagavatpada condemns there. In his commentary, so here Upanishad itself condemns, saying what? Yajna rupaha yete plavaha adrudaha. So all rituals are inappropriate, inadequate, insecure, insufficient in order to attain moksha. Why? Because the karanam, the reason is given in the next sentence, second sentence. So, yete yajyarupaha plavaha adrudhaha. Why? They are adrudaha. Why do we say they are weak, fragile? Why they would say that they are inadequate, inappropriate to attain jnanam or moksha, to cross the ocean of samsara? It is said, ashtadasha uktam avaram karma yeshu. Yeshu karma. The reason is given. Definitely, ritual can be used. Ritual can be used to neutralize your unknowingly then papa karma phalam. Definitely, ritual can be used to attain any result, time-bound result. Some, we can earn some punyam. Performance of ritual definitely will help one earn punyam. Punya sampadakam, karma punya sampadakam, yajnaha punya sampadakaha. Definitely any action done, any karma performed helps us accumulate punyam. Definitely, no doubt. So with that punyam, we can utilize our papams, not all papams. We can definitely enjoy some benefits which are time-bound, which come under the category of time-bound relative ends in terms of artha kama dharma. With the punyam we earn through the performance of ritual, we can have artha, we can get some artha, we can enjoy some pleasures, we can even as on dharma. Dharma means the punyam. Even it can contribute for mental purity and mental steadiness. For all the maximum what we can attain is only the relative end in terms of artha kama dharmaha. Definitely not moksha. So even the attainment of swargadi lokaha, higher lokas, going to higher lokas, enjoying heavenly pleasures also come under the category of artha kama dharmas only. There is not moksha. Okay, even if karma phalam can help us go to heaven, enjoy the heavenly pleasures, even enjoyment of heavenly pleasures, even going to heaven, etc., comes under the category of time bound relative ends. Artha kama dharmas. There is another word for that, prayas. Isn't it? Prayas is one word which stands for all time bound relative ends in terms of artha kama dharmaha, three ends, relative ends. But definitely no karma phalam can help us attain the shreyas, which is absolute end, which is jnanam, which is mokshaha. Shreyas is absolute end. Shreyas is the absolute end. which is moksha, is accomplishable only through jnanam. So freedom from bondage is accomplishable only through the resolution of ignorance, for which we need only jnanam. Therefore, jnana sadhakaha moksha, karma sadhakani, karma sadhakaha artha kama dharmaha. So prayas is karma sadhakam, shreyas is jnana sadhakam. So only through jnanam we can accomplish moksha, shreyas. The prayas, time bound ends, can be accomplished through karma, as a result of karma. Therefore, it is said, why they are, rituals are not adequate for us to cross the ocean of samsara? Because this karma, this any karma is dependent. Dependent on what? Karma is dependent. Karma is avaram. Avaram means inferior. Inferior means what? It is inadequate, inappropriate, it has its limitation, subject to limitation. Karma avaram, because yeshu ashtadasha uktam, ashtadasha uktam. Ashtadasha means 18. You know the number definitely. Ashta 8, dasha 10, ashtadasha 18. Ashta 8, dasha 10, ashtadasha 18. There are 18 factors. 18 factors involved in performing a fire ritual, in performing a yajna. And all those 18 factors are subject to time limitation. All 18 factors are subject to time limitation. Therefore, when all these 18 factors, depending upon which alone a karma can be performed, are subject to time. So the karma performed also is subject to time. Apart from that, we also talk about other accessories. The performer of ritual, object of ritual, the location of ritual, the purpose of ritual, all those accessories also, accessories associated with any action are time bound in nature. These 18 factors involved in performing a fire ritual, any fire ritual especially, are also time bound in nature. Therefore, how can karma, which is dependent on the performance of which, I'm repeating sentence, how can karma, the performance of which is dependent on 18 time-bound factors, be timeless? How can it be timeless? There's no such a thing called timeless action. Therefore, karma cannot produce a timeless result. Time-bound action cannot produce timeless, everlasting result. And what is moksha? Moksha is timeless, everlasting. Moksha is everlasting. Moksha is timeless. How do you say it is timeless? Because moksha is freedom, implies limitlessness. Freedom, being free from limitations, is freedom. What is moksha? Being free from limitations is freedom. Therefore, it implies limitlessness. What is limitlessness? Limitlessness is timeless. How do we say it is timeless? Because limitlessness is the nature of reality. Brahma, Atma, nature of the reality implied by the terms Atma or Brahma. And reality is timeless. The very expression we use, the reality, implies what? Timelessness. Reality is that which has no beginning, that which has no end, that which is always, that which is of the nature of changelessness. So what is Sat? Satyam. The Sat itself, the reality. So reality, what is real? The definition, if you analyze, that which has no beginning, that which has no end, that which does not undergo any change, that which is always is Sat. Therefore, reality is timeless. Timelessness or limitlessness is the nature of reality. Therefore, it is always there. So being free is the nature of reality. The freedom which you are seeking is permanent. Therefore, permanent, timeless, everlasting moksha, which is the very nature of reality, nature of one's own self, which is always there, already there, is to be discovered, cannot be attained newly as a result of an action. So karma cannot produce a result. Therefore, moksha is not the result produced by action. Producible through ritual. Moksha anutpadyaha. Any karma phalam is what? Utpadyam. A karma's, the result of an action is utpadyam, producible, or utpattihi, production. But as karma, moksha is anutpadyaha. It is not producible because it's already there. Therefore, what we say here, this karma is inferior, avaram, karma avaram, any ritual, even though it is prescribed in the great treasures of Aj called Veda, Karma Kanda of the Veda, for us Veda is so great, important. Still, even though it is prescribed in the Veda also, ritual has its own limitation. Karma avaram. So, varaha, varam means superior. Whereas avaram means what? Karma is a neutral gender word. Therefore, karma avaram. Karman shabdaha. Karma avaram. Karmani avarani. We have to say that. Karma avaram. Karma is inferior. Action is inferior because it is time bound in nature. It cannot produce a timeless moksha because it is dependent on 18 factors. It involves 18 factors. All of them are time bound in nature. So what are those 18 factors? We'll understand here. Ashtadasha uktam. There are, uktam is said, it has been said that there are 18 factors involved in the performance of ritual, which are all time bound in nature, and karma is dependent on those 18 factors, therefore karma is inferior, karma avaram. Okay. What are those 18 factors? We have to say there are 4 Vedas. Rigveda Vedaha, Yajurvedaha, Samavedaha, Atharvana Vedaha. This particular ritual also, for each Veda, there must be 4 priests. The 4 priests of each Veda must be there in order to perform certain rituals. Even the big rituals, leave alone the small ritual, even the biggest ritual. To perform those rituals, we need 4 priests of each Veda. So, for each Veda, 4 priests means we have totally 16 priests. And we have the names also given. 16 priests. And plus, we have this Patihi, Yajamanaha, the worshipper, the person who performs this ritual, who organizes this ritual, who sits as a Yajamana, a performer of the ritual, who gives Dakshina. No, this married person, Grihastha, and he Yajamanaha, and his wife. So 16 plus 2, 18. In fact, we have to include all other things also, which are apart from these 18, we have other things. All of them are time-bound in nature. The oblations offered are time-bound in nature. The fire is time-bound in nature. Anything which is used in performing a ritual is time-bound in nature. Anyway, so there are, say, 18. So for information, it is not really important for us, but still nice to know all these factors. So, Yajurvedaha. So the priests who are informed, who have profound knowledge of the Yajurveda. So Yajurveda priests, now there's a 4, a Ganaha. Okay, Gana, a group consisting of 4 Yajurveda priests is called Yajurveda Ganaha or Yajurganaha. Yajurveda Ganaha or Yajurganaha consists of 4 priests. Yajurganaha. Then, and each priest also has a name. Each priest has a name. You know, Yajurveda Ganaha. First, Advariyuhu. You talk only Yajurveda Ganaha. A Ganaha means a group. Yesterday also we saw a group of 4 priests of Yajurveda, known as Yajurveda Ganaha or Yajurganaha, consists of 4 priests, and each one of them also is given a name. Advariyuhu. Pratiprasthata. Neshta and Unneta. I'll text you the names. Okay. The transliteration is given in Swamiji's book. I can text you Sanskrit words. So there are 4 priests. So not only these, the one group, then we have Rigvedaha. And the Rigvedaha, there's a group of 4 priests of Rigveda, Rigveda Ganaha. Rigveda Ganaha. Rigveda Ganaha is also known as Hotru Ganaha. Hotru Ganaha. Hota means performer, offerer. Offerer of oblation is called Hota. So all Rikaranta Shabda. Therefore, Hotru Ganaha. A group of 4 Hotrus. They are actually Rigveda priests. A Rigveda priest is mainly called Hota. Hota. Yajurveda priest is mainly called Advariyuhu. Advariyuhu is a name of main priest of Yajurveda. Hota is the name of the priest of the Rigveda. So there's a Hotru Ganaha or Rigveda Ganaha, consisting of four priests. And they also have four different names. The main name is Hota, Maitra Varunaha, Achavakaha, and Gravastutaha. I'll text you in a group, okay? All Sanskrit letters. Hota, Maitra Varunaha, Achavakaha, and Gravastutaha. The four names of the priests of Hotru Ganaha or Rigveda Ganaha. So eight. The extra information, okay? Not important, but still better for you to know. Similarly, Samaveda. The Samaveda also, the priests of Samaveda, a group of four priests of Samaveda is called Samaveda Ganaha or Udgatru Ganaha. Samaveda Ganaha, otherwise known as Udgatru Ganaha. The main name of the Samaveda priest is Udgata. Udgata. Udgata is the main, is the name of the Samaveda priest. Udgata. Remember these four important names. Advaryuhu, Hota, and Udgata. But the group itself is called what? Udgatru Ganaha. It's a group of four priests of Samaveda. It's called Samaveda Ganaha, or Sama Ganaha, or Udgatru Ganaha. Now 12 priests. Now we have, so Advaryu Ganaha or Yajurveda Ganaha, Hotru Ganaha or Rigveda Ganaha, now Samaveda Ganaha or Udgatru Ganaha. Udgatru Ganaha. Now we have another Veda is Atharva Veda. There's also another group of four priests of Atharva Veda. Another group of four priests of Atharva Veda. So Atharva Veda Ganaha. Atharva Veda Ganaha is also known as Brahma Ganaha. Brahma Ganaha. Because the main priest of the Atharva Veda is known as Brahma. Be careful. Brahma Ji. The creator is all Bhagavan. As the creator is also given the title Brahma. Reality is known by the term Brahma. Veda is also known by the term Brahma. But here Brahma is also name of, Brahma is also name of the priest, Atharva Veda priest. So Brahma Ganaha. Brahma as a compound is a Brahma Ganaha. So Atharva Veda Ganaha, otherwise called Brahma Ganaha. So each group is known by the main priest's name. Advaryu Ganaha, Hotru Ganaha, Udgatru Ganaha, and Brahma Ganaha. So here, this Yajurveda, Rigveda Ganaha, Hotru Ganaha, we saw. Also Udgatru Ganaha, Samaveda priest. Even the main priest is Udgata. You say Prastota, Pratiharta, and Subramanyaha. The four names of this Samaveda group. Udgata, Prastota, Pratiharta, and Subramanyaha. Subramanyaha is also name of the Lord Kartikeya, Shiva's son. But here, we should not mistake this Subramanya for Bhagavan. That's a Kartikeya. It's the name of the Samaveda. One of the priests of Samaveda group is called Subramanya. Like this, we have this Gana. So my last is what Atharvaveda priest, a group of four Atharvaveda priests form this Brahma Ganaha, Atharvaveda Ganaha. And they are Brahma, Brahmanachamsi, Agnidharaha, and Pota. So, I'll text you the Sanskrit words for all these names. So, in Shankaracharya, in his commentary, he says, Shodasha Ritvijaha. Shodasha Ritvijaha. So, Ritvik. Please understand, Ritvik. Is the Ritvik means performer of a ritual. Ritvik is a performer of a ritual. Any of the priest, the priest of any Veda is simply known as Ritvik. Whether Yajurveda priest, Samaveda priest or Atharveda priest, any priest can be known as Ritvik. Priest means not simply a pujari who does puja in the temple, a person who has profound knowledge in Karmakanda, who is eligible to perform a Vedic ritual, and he is called Ritvik. Ritvijaha is plural. Okay? There are how many Ritvijaha? Kati Ritvijaha? Shodasha. Shodasha. 16 priests Ritvijaha. And who are the other two factors here? Patni, wife. Then yajamanaha, patihi. Patihi, patni, husband and wife. Then 16 priests, totally 18, ashtadasha. Yajamanaha chaiti, ashtadasha, 18. So here, okay, all these priests are there who have profound knowledge, and all of them must be married people. A brahmachari is not eligible to perform a ritual, a karmakandi. For a person to be a karmakandi, he must be married. First qualification, he must be married. Unmarried person, a bachelor, is not eligible to perform rituals. So all these 16 priests, all must be married people. They come single because they're all priests here. But the yajamana, the person who really organizes, who wants to have the punyam, the one who gives the kshina to these 16 priests is the yajamanaha. Yajamanaha, I already said, worshipper, the performer of a ritual. And he is a patihi, he is a husband. Patihi means the Lord, that he must be a patihi, means a husband. And his husband means there must be wife, patni. See, the Shankaracharya writes about this patni, mentioning a Patanjali sutram from Vyakaranam. There is a sutram in Panini Sutra. Panini Sutra. In Ashtadhyayi, the grammar sutras are there. Ashtadhyayi is the name of Panini's sutras on grammar. Vyakarana Shastra Sutrani. Vyakarana Shastra Sutrani. The aphorisms of on grammar given in the text called Ashtadhyayi. Eight chaptered text is Ashtadhyayi, written by Panini Maharshi. In that textbook, Panini himself gives a sutra, okay, explaining the word Patni. who is called Patni. And Panini says, Patyuhu Yajna Sanyoge Naha. Patyuhu Yajna Sanyoge Naha. Are these very important for us? Why are you talking all these things? We are interested in Jnanam and Moksha. We are not interested in Panini Sutra, Ashtadhyayi, which Sutra he has given and all that. Why are you saying all these things? Because if you have to understand Shankara's commentary, we have to understand all these things. If I simply say there are only 18 factors are involved, so 18 factors are involved in performing a ritual. All 14, 16 priests, husband and wife finished. You will not understand how Veda emphasized, how the Vedic way of life would have been. You have to understand that. Which means it also shows how disciplined the life must have been. So, Panini Maharshi, in his Ashtadhyayi, where he teaches grammar in his sutras, there he spends one sutra, he gives one sutra exclusively for explaining the word Patni. And what is that sutram? Patyuhu Naha Yajna Sanyoge. If you are not interested in sutram, you can ignore it. Okay? Don't worry. Patyuhu Naha Yajna Sanyoge is the sutram. What does it mean? There is the word Patihi. Patihi means husband, which is a ikaranta pullinga shabdaha. It's a masculine gender word ending in vowel E. There, Paini says that ikaraha, the final vowel ikara in the word he, replaced by nakara to mean a wife. Okay, there is ikara in the patihi, the word patihi, the final vowel ikara, the final vowel ikara in the word patihi is replaced by nakara not only replaced, actually is added in between. In between takara, okay, that nakara is added. Then it is becomes a long E. Patni. A substitute comes. In the place of ikara, nakara comes. And afterwards another affix, feeling affix is taken. Therefore, the word becomes Patni. Pat-i. E goes, nakara comes. Afterwards, E is added so that you get the word Patni. When Yajna Sanyoge. So, which is the woman who can be called Patni? Only if this woman was married to a man in the presence of fire, in the presence of Agnihi. The fire ritual is performed. Agni is brought as a witness for the wedding. Only then she can be called Patni. One meaning. Another meaning is, the wife who is supposed to accompany the husband in performing all rituals. Okay. Without a wife accompanying her husband, if a man performs a ritual, that ritual will not be effective. He's supposed to accompany him. Okay, the woman who's married to a man in the presence of the Agni, when the fire ritual is performed, through the performance of a ritual, a woman is made a wife of a husband. He is married to a man, she is called Patni. Then she is the one who is supposed to accompany him in all performing all rituals later on. Because a Vaidika family, a Vaidika husband, the husband wife who begin to live their household life, throughout life is going to be life of worship and prayers and pujas. She must be there. something happened or a wife, and there's a different matter. But in initially, when the marriage is done, the prayer is that supposed to accompany him. That is why Patni, and here the word is issued, that Shankaracharya says in his commentary, so Ritvijaha, Shodasha Ritvijaha, Yajamanaha, Patni, Pati Patni, Dampati, a couple. So 18 of them is all extra unnecessary, unwanted information. But still, okay. Kras says, I also, Swamiji also says, I also want to say. Okay, this is Patni. So what now? Even the, so a Vaidikaha Vivahaha, a Vedic marriage means is not simply a woman cannot become a wife of a man just like that. There's a commitment involved, Shraddha involved, prayers involved, worship involved, blessing involved, there's a purpose involved, Therefore, there must be a woman with the man, wife must be with the husband until her last breath. Husband must be with his, until her, with me means what? Not emotionally. Physically, one may go before, other may come later on. Physically, definitely one will go before or later. We don't know who goes first. Wife may go first, a husband may go first, or both of them may go together sometimes. One doesn't matter who goes first physically, who departs is not important. But emotionally, until the last breath, there must be, one must be with one person. Emotional commitment. So all these are important things, because that is how one can really prepare one's mind for jnanam also. The mind, emotionally, you take your mind and give it to one person, to another person, to another person. You'll be distracted and disturbed. All day we are disturbed. That is why in Vedic way of life means not simply just being the following the values, not simply being truthful and then not cheating, not, of course, all very important. My universal values are very, very important. Even morality is very important in Vedic way of life. Because why it is emphasized? Ultimate, it's all for helping a human being to prepare his mind for jnanam, which is moksha. It is for preparing the mind for spiritual, accomplishing the spiritual end, the spiritual wisdom, which is moksha. Okay, this is, so all these 18 factors, now we'll go out of the track, okay? Now let us see this. All of them here, Ashtadasha Uktam Yeshu Karma Avaram Karma. Yeshu means what? Depending on these 18 factors alone, we mean all these factors are involved in performing a ritual, therefore karma is inferior. Inferior means karma is what? It is what? Adrudaha. Plavaha, it is like a fragile boat, fragile raft. It is useless. It has nothing to do with attainment of moksha to cross the ocean of samsara. No. Yetat shreyaha ye abhinandanti yetat Shreyaha. You break yetat shreyo. If you break, it is what? Yetat shreyaha. Yetat shreyaha. Shreyaha, if you take sakarantaha napumsakaling, sakarantaha shabdaha. Sakarantaha sabdaha shreyas. This prayas, shreyas, sakaranta shabdas. Actually, shreyas. And you later on, sakara becomes visarga. It is shreyaha. So, shreyaha actually implies mokshaha. How does it imply mokshaha? Because shreyas means that which is Shreyas literally means a good. Shreyas means good. What is good? See, the good again, there are two forms of good things. Anything good can be relative. Anything good can be relative means what? What is good for one person is not good for other person. What is good in one place is not good in other place. What is good in one season is not good in other season. The word good is relative. But here, the Shreyas means absolute good. What is absolute good? So absolute good is that which is desirable, acceptable for good for, which is good for all the people, always, everywhere. Trishu kaleshu, sarveshu sthaneshu, sarvesham jananam, yat shubham, shubadam. That which brings good is absolute Shreyas. It is absolute good. It is implied by the word Shreyas. Even though the word Shreyas literally means good, it actually implies absolute good. Anything good is relative only, but there is something which is absolute good, absolutely good. What is that which is absolutely good? That which is desirable, acceptable, that which is good for all people of all places of all times is absolute good. What is that? Jnanam. Knowledge is absolutely good. Knowledge is absolute good. Knowledge of the truth, Atma Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam, Vastu Jnanam, knowledge of the truth is absolute grace. Why? Because Jnanam is desirable, acceptable. Jnanam does good for all people of all times of all places. How? Because Jnanam brings, Jnanam helps people take ownership of the moksha freedom which is already there. Jnanam helps people accomplish the absolute end moksha. And moksha is a universal end. Moksha is an absolute end. Jnanam alone helps one accomplish the ultimate absolute end moksha, happiness which is desirable for all people of all places of all times. Happiness is the absolute end, ultimate end, because it is desirable for all people of all places of all times. And Jnanam alone can help one discover this happiness, an absolute end. Therefore, Jnanam is absolute good. So, Shreyas means good, but Shreyas here means absolute good. Absolute good is that which is absolutely good is Jnanam, because Jnanam alone can help and accomplish the absolute end, happiness, mokshaha. Therefore, Shreyaha is the meaning of the word Shreyas. Now, here, there are mudhaha. Mudhaha. I already told many times, the word mudha is participle of mukh dhatu. Deluded. So, mukhyati, vimukhyati, mohaha, vimohaha, mudha. Mohaha noun, mudha participle deluded. And mudha stri, mudaha purushaha. So here mudaha, because purul, the people are mudaha. Who are the deluded people? Here mudaha, people who do not know the limitation of karma, who know the advantage, benefits of karma, who has knowledge of benefits of karma, but they do not know the limitation. What karma can do, what karma cannot do. What karma can produce, what karma cannot produce. With reference to karma and the karma phalam, limitation of karma, they do not have understanding. They're deluded. they may be highly intelligent, they may be brilliant, they might have studied the karma kanda of the Veda, they have profound knowledge of karma, they are not illiterate people. Even though people are highly intelligent, brilliant, educated, and they have profound knowledge of karma kanda of the Veda, still they have delusion. They deluded with reference to karma and karma phalam. What karma cannot do. They do not understand the limitation of karma. Therefore, they are known as mudaha, deluded people. And what do these deluded people do? Abhinandanti. The word abhinandati literally means congratulates. But abhinandanti means what now? They express great joy. They praise highly. They glorify. Mudaha abhinandanti. These people who are deluded with reference to karma and karma phalam. And those people, they praise, glorify, abhinandanti. So, those people praise. What do they praise? What do they say? Yetat shreyaha. Yetat means the pronoun this implies means karma. Shreyaha means absolute good. They say karma is the means of attainment of absolute good, moksha. We can perform rituals. We can enjoy the benefits of performance of rituals. And even we can attain happiness. We can even attain happiness as a result of performance of ritual. But they say, etat shreyaha, they glorify karma, perform ritual, this and that, we can enjoy anything, we can have happiness, we can attain even moksha by performing ritual. This is their understanding. So, actually, in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna, in his discussion on karma, he also in second chapter, he condemns people, karmakandis, who think, karmakandis will not be condemned or criticized if they understand the limitation of karma. Only when they go to the extent of saying, just by merely performing karma, we can attain anything we want in life, including moksha, when they say, that is when they are condemned. Mudaha yetat shreyaha iti, shreyaha iti is understood. Abhinandanti, they praise, glorify karma. They consider karma as something great because they do not care for jnanam. They are not interested at all in jnanam or Upanishads. They do not want to proceed towards jnana kandaha. They are stuck here with the karma kanda itself. Because the more and more rituals they perform, the more and more they enjoy the results of rituals, and the more and more they enjoy the pleasures, when life is going on smoothly, enjoying all comforts, artha is available, kamas are available, when everything is available, artha kamas are available, enjoyable, available for enjoyment in abundance, and they will not think of jnanam at all. Why? They are not interested in jnanam. There are many people come and tell, we are all happy now. We are happy. Why do we need 34 shastram for happiness? It means when the life is going on smoothly. See, imagine, Vaidikas are very disciplined. And they perform rituals. And definitely they enjoy the results of rituals also. When they have abundant, they have everything in life. They have enough artha to live their lives. They are blessed with abundance of pleasures, enjoyment of pleasures in their lives. Then definitely they will not think of jnanam. They will not know the value of jnanam. They will not know the limitations of karma as long as they are enjoying only pleasures in life. isn't it? And they say, Yetat Seyaha, what do we lack now? We have all pleasures. All pleasures are there. So karma is enough. Karma is the best. Karma can give us all happiness. Karma, which means they think karma is the means of attainment of moksha. And Upanishad calls them Moodhaha. Ye Moodhaha Yetat Shreyaha Abhinandanti. Those deluded people who are stuck with the karma kanda of the Veda and who are engrossed in the enjoyment of pleasures, of results of actions, and they think, who think, mistake the karma as the means of attainment of moksha, and who glorify this etat sheyaha, this is the best, performance of ritual is the best, even to attain the absolute good moksha jnanam. And such people, they will, what will happen to them? Those deluded people alone, ye te punaha eva apiyanti, punareva apiyanti, they continue to remain in samsara. They cannot attain moksha. There's no way of those people becoming free from bondage. They'll ever remain bound. Punaha eva, again, punaha eva, te, apiyanti. What do they apiyanti? What do they attain here? Jaramrityum. Jaramrityum apiyanti. Yanti itself is enough. Attain. Yati is a yanti enough. But still, apiyanti means they again return. Apiyanti means the apnuvanti. Apiyanti means apnuvanti. They get. They gain. They get. What do they get? Punaha eva. Again. The punaha means again. That eva definitely. Definitely again they get samsara. What does it mean? They get means samsara. How do we say samsara? Samsara is implied by the expression jaramrityuhu. Jaramrityum apiyanti means again and again they gain, they get old age, they death. Samsara, which means they will continue to be in this like cycle of beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. Samsare bhavishyanti. Once you are born, already you are born. You live your life. When you are born, being born itself is implication of what? Being ignorant. Your born means ajnani. There's no doubt. Born means ajnani only. That too, because of some lot of punyam, this narajanma, durlabham narajanma, this human birth. And so that we are so exalted people among all the beings, we have this special knowledge. I know I am. Isn't it? This is the we can be proud of this. We can boast. We have this jnanam. Aham asmi. I have this jnanam. I know. But still, that is, we're born ajnanis. Therefore, already samsara. So why I am born here? My parentage, my birth, my paradha has already determined this birth with this given parentage. Life is lived, going through all pairs of opposites, and definitely death is inevitable. For everyone who is born, death is inevitable. Death is inevitable. And before death also, when the person dies young or old, doesn't matter, then old age also. If at all a person lives long, and old age is also inevitable. And old age means all the problems which go with old age also. This is inevitable. Okay, when the death happens, after the death, do you think you can escape? No way. This is what is understanding helplessness. we do not even understand our diagnosing the problem. Okay. Diagnosing the problem means we do not even know there is a problem of samsara. See, our problems do not come to an end with the death of this death, present death. The death in the present life will not bring a solution, is not a solution at all for our problems. This is called understanding the problem, okay? The death in the present life will not put an end to all our problems and worries and pains and sufferings. Our enjoyment of pleasures and pains will not come to an end with this death. Only temporary freedom we have. Death is a temporary freedom. There is a small break, holiday break. Again, we have to come back. But where we should come back, how we should come back, which parentage we should come back, we should be crawling or flying or what we'll be doing, we do not know anything. And everything is in the hands of karma phala data. Okay. The power of the karma phalam has to determine our future, even birth. We do not know how life is going to be. Therefore, it is said, samsara and Upanishad emphasizes, take it for granted. If you continue to be ajnani, if there is no jnanam, you will come back. Punareva apiyanti. And if at all people think, oh, by performing so many rituals, so many benefits we enjoyed, really enjoyed, because the experience is that this experience of enjoyment of results of actions, results of karma, rituals, really, it's not that easy. We get attached to karma, phalam and karma. Oh, do this, get this, do this, get this. We enjoy. It's typically like somebody investing some money in business. He makes profit. Again, he doesn't want to leave it. Suppose if he loses the investing in business, then he may become depressed. Suppose he makes money. And again, he'll be tempted to invest more to get more profit. The same way here, performance of ritual also definitely will bless one with desirable results, enjoyable results in artha kamas. An enjoyment of the artha kamas will make blind a person. I will make a person blind that he will not be able to think, and he will think, oh, but just by doing karma, I can attain even moksha. So Shastram warns, Upanishad warns such people. The warning is given. No, definitely karma will not free you from bondage. You must consciously start working for moksha. Working for the attainment of jnanam, which itself is moksha. Therefore, he says, jaramrityum punareva apiyanti. Ke apiyanti jaramrityum punaha, punaha, punaha. Ye mudaha, ye tachreha abhinandanti, te mudaha punareva jaramrityum apiyanti. Deluded people alone will praise the karma as the means of the attainment of moksha, and they alone will attain samsara, not people who are not deluded. So we don't need to be under the category of mudaha. Okay, therefore I'm going to stop here. We'll see. This verse is over. I have to say a few things regarding this verse. We'll continue again next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.